Krishna. Yes, some question.
Maharaj, online question from our viewer. Her name is Renata, so she's asking, for many times I've heard that envy is the primary cause why jiva soul falls into the material world. So I have a serious question. Was our fallen condition caused exceptionally by envy of Krishna, or it could be caused by envy of Srimati Radharani as well? The premise of these situations seems different, but I might be wrong, so please correct me. She wants to hear your answer.
Srila Guru Maharaj does not support the notion that full awareness of the position of Krishna or Radhan Krishna, that souls that would imply in Goloka that they're expressing some envy towards them and being cast out into the material existence. You know, he said, we should not think like that. Right? The only known instances of souls, exalted souls from Goloka coming to this world is out of the necessity of Leela, and that's something else. So if in their pastimes there's some quarrel or some perceived offense and one gopi curses a cowherd, well, you go to hell, and they have to go into the material world, and then they play in Krishna Leela in the form of a demon or something. That's what we call necessity of Leela. But the idea to open that an eternally liberated associate of the Lord would express envy toward the supreme entity, Krishna, being in the central conception of the infinite, and from that position to express envy toward the supreme Lord or his dearest, do not think along those lines. So, although it's an elaborate subject matter and many questions arise, still, when Sanatan Goswami, the beginning of the so-called Sanatan Shiksha, Mahaprabhu's instructions to Sanatan Goswami. It says, Kayami kene amoy jari tapitroy, ihan nahi jani kamone hitohoy. Who am I? Why am I suffering from the threefold miseries? Adhyatmika, adi bhotika, adi devika. And he says, if I don't know this, ihan nahi jani, kamone hitohoy, then how can I know what's beneficial for me? What is Mahaprabhu's answer? To think of what the question is and think of what the answer is. And it's in the primary position. This is the beginning of the answer. Jive swarupai krishnira nityadas. Is you're eternal servant of Krishna. Then what? Krishnera tatasta shakti beda bed prakash. He's saying here at the outset, jivas are tatasta shakti. That means they're in a marginal position. What does that mean? Situated between two realms. Right, so it means at the outskirts, on the outskirts of the Swarup Shakti, that's the margin. That's not saying in the center. and the central conception of the infinite, but rather on the margin, that means between two planes. From that position, deviation is possible. With some innate expression of however we want to term it, envy, resentment, do you want to reign in hell or serve in heaven? Right. So the concept, the being resisting the notion of servitorship and submission in favor of self-assertion and self-establishment, as Guru Maharaj has termed, pratishta. Right. We're told, pratishta, you know, kana kamini pratishta. Pratishta to, protect oneself. We offer pratishta, name and fame, to Guru. As aspiring servitors, we're trying to establish the position of Guru and Vaishnav. Otherwise, self-establishment, establishing oneself as an absolute center, and from there, trying to expand the circumference of one's exploiting capacity. That's the situation. So that means the envy expressed is in a innate, and but what's another word? Where it means, you know, not fully developed. I can't think of the word right now. Like Guru Maharaj gave an example once of the partition of India, and which resulted in the creation of Pakistan. Salman Rushdie wrote a book called Midnight's Children, because at midnight you'd be, you know, a Pakistani or so. But people were given a choice in this particular instance. But why Guru Maharaj is giving this example is saying they don't know what it's going to be. There is no Pakistan yet. It'll happen at midnight. But they're saying, so here's, you can stay here in India, or you can, there's this new country that'll be known as, you have the option to go there. So that means they don't understand what that is fully, but there's some sense that perhaps in that plane, I will realize my prospect. It's something along these lines of like this, I keep using the word innate, but there's another word I'm thinking of that means about that initial position and choice. So you understand it means like the way it's presented in Paradise Lost, reign in hell, serve in heaven, a general prospect. Because jivas, according to Guru Maharaj, and in line with Mahaprabhu's teachings, Sanatana, all of our acharyas, is that the jivas, they're from this their tatastha shakti, which tata means they're situated in this almost imaginary zone. What does Bhaktivinoda say? Like, where on the bank, tata also means bank, riverbank. Where is it, riverbank and water? There's that one point where it's turning, it's going from one to the other. So he says, an almost imaginary position. And remember, we're not talking about location, right? What does it GPS mean? Global positioning satellite, but same thing, you know. But I'm thinking about geo, the word geography, like we're talking about consciousness. So this is where it is sometimes confusing to people, because they're thinking in terms of a graphic, like a map, which is helpful to a point, but we're talking, we're talking about mapping planes of consciousness. Goloka represents a particular plane of, Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha itself, Guru Maharaj is saying, is the southern hemisphere of the spiritual world. Again, giving some graphic imagery to help us understand that. But it's a plane of consciousness. So what is the difference between Goloka and Vaikuntha? Are degrees of self-giving and dedication and self-forgetfulness, self-oblivion, in the good sense. That's what distinguishes, Vaikuntha's janito bara madhupuri tatrapi rasotsavad, between Vaikuntha and Mathura. As I said to Guru Maharaj once, just thinking aloud, I said, oh, so there must be a difference between a blade of grass in Vaikuntha and a blade of grass in Goloka. And he, without hesitation, he said, of course. Vaikuntha represents 2.5 rasas, Shanta and Dasya. In the case of some old-time servitors, there's an element, component of Sakirasa. But you have to go further to Ayodhya, to Dwar, and then what is in Ayodhya? Ekpatni. Ramachandra has one wife, Sita. That means that is seva. This is the seva mayoyam loka. So that sort of seva is reserved for one in the plane of Ayodhya. Where is expanded? Into Dwaraka, 16,108 queens. But then expanded further, and Mathura, Vrindavan Hoyte, Govardhana Shaila, Gandharika, Giridhari, Jatta Krida Koila. It's a gradation of levels of dedication and self-giving and self-sacrifice, self-surrender. So, innately, but here we're told, so the jivas coming from an undifferentiated plane of consciousness, they differentiate. Some differentiation is there. And this base proposal, right? Guru Maharaj compares being in the Brahmajyoti to national consciousness, like a national identity. Right? But it's not, you have a specific identity within a national identity. So there, base proposal, the serve in heaven prospect or reign in hell? So, like king of hell? Yeah. With a crown and everything? Possible, yeah. I'm seeing the image of an Indian groom on a horse. I don't know why that's coming to me at this moment. Oh, because they forced a man to marry a woman the other day. And I saw that image. He went to a wedding, and then they kidnapped him and made him marry another girl. Anyway, these things are going on. But, so that prospect, that just think of it. I mean, actually, don't think of it. But someone's in Krishna Leela, who's an eternally liberated associate of the Lord. They've reached the highest plane of self-giving, self-dedication of Krishna consciousness. And suddenly they become envious of Krishna or Radharani. That's just not possible. Again, unless you want to go back to the necessity of Leela, the competing groups. But once you remember, that plane is a particular plane of consciousness that, like, Shuddha Bhakti is like the baseline of that. What are all these descriptions? Anya Abhilashita Shunyam Jnana. There's no such tinge in that plane. So, like, suddenly they become tinged? Or, you know, that plane, having once gone, one never returns? Or, you know, like, well, you know, the thousandth time you've been there, you'd be more likely to stay. I mean, it presents, if you go in the other direction, it becomes very problematic, actually, and is an offensive way to think of eternal servitors. But that said, Ichadvesha samutvena dvandva mohena bharata. There it is in Bhagavad Gita. But in the Bhagavatam, within this world, if someone is serious about going back to Godhead, to that plane, then we're told, nirmat saranam satam, you cannot be envious of the devotees. Guru Maharaj will go so far as to say that it's a given that you shouldn't be envious of Krishna. Almost like, that's easy, of course. He's saying, but that's not the actual test of Krishna consciousness. The test is whether or not you have proper appreciation for the devotees of Krishna. That's why Guru Maharaj, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Saraswati Thakur, they dismiss Mirabai from being an intimate devotee of Krishna. Why? On the one hand, people say, no, she's mad in praise of Krishna, she's singing these songs, Mira. Yes, it's always Mira and Krishna. No Radharani, no other devotees, just her and Krishna. That's a fantasy, that's fictitious. That is a way to ignore that serving group. Why? If you have a real view of the situation, then you would have to make this observation. As Gorman said, if you, Everest, what's the positive proof you're coming going in the right direction and of Everest is when you come in connection with the subordinate peaks surrounding Everest. There is no Krishna alone. Right? Krishna means Radha and Krishna. Right? Krishna and his devotees. How is Krishna always glorified? Once in Australia, this is many years ago, I had a meeting with the children, and there's this picture in the room, you know, it was like a picture on the wall of Krishna, and I'm talking to this little group, and Ananda Vigraha, one of his sons, I don't know the name, but you know, this is more than 10 years ago, so he's probably a grown man by now, but anyway, this boy, maybe it was like 7 or something. I said, what's missing in that picture? And he said, Radharani. He immediately could see, where's Radharani? There's a picture of Krishna, no devotees. There's no Radharani, no Yashoda, no gopis, you know, at least some cows. Krishna is not, that Vasudeva Sarvamiti. Guru Maharaj said that is the on the outskirts of Krishna conception. Vasu, like Krishna alone. Now, if you're going to go in earnest and substantively toward Krishna conception, Bhagawan, then there'll be Lakshmi Narayan, Sita Ram, Rukmini Dwarkanath, Mathuresh. Vrindavan, Krishna, then Govardhan Krishna, then Radha Kunda, Radha and Krishna. In that way it goes. So Krishna, Adipurana to Arjuna, what is he saying? Those who say they're directly my devotees, they're not my devotees. Like when we would go in India to these different towns, Meerut, Bareilly, different, you know, and you can always find out quick, like, who's the number one, like, devotee gentleman in the town? They always, Mr. So-and-so, you know, and we always go there, and they usually invite you to do programs. So we didn't start this. They did this in the Gaudiya Math, you know. And Saraswati Thakur would be someplace, and they would introduce some man as, like, the, you know, the number one Ram Bhakta in the town, or, you know, by reputation. And Saraswati Thakur would say, and under whose guidance are you proceeding? You go, no, directly, Lord Ram. And you're like, oh, acha. You know, and then later, I mean, not in front of him, but later, Saraswati Thakur would say to his disciples, he has no devotion. Because he's not naming anyone. Whisper, if you have to say something, whisper. So that's how you identify who is a substantive devotee. Under whose guidance are they? Right? And the ultimate devotee being Srimati Radharani herself. Right? So in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, we can see in a general sense, it's saying nirmat saranam satam, not to be envious of devotees. But again, that's a negative. We say, don't be like this. And what is that? You know, you should be non-envious. All right. But what would be the other side of that? Means you should praise the devotee. You should be appreciating their devotion and their qualities. If it is devotion, in fact, that is your target or your goal. If that's really your aspiration and your pursuit, then wherever you see that, you'll identify that and celebrate that. Right? That's what we hear in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu from Rupa Goswami. And referencing Sanatan Goswami Brihad Bhagavatamritam. What is that? What is one thing that we learn from that? Is each place, each situation Narada finds himself in, and he sees some devotees going about their devotional ways and practice, and he's praising them. And then what do we see? And that's why it's so pretty. Those devotees, they deflect that praise, not self-establishing, pratishtha-seeking people, and they defer to another devotee who, in their opinion, is superior. This is the way of devotion, and it's genuine. And they advise Narada to get the association of those devotees. Then he'll go there, and as appropriate, offering them praise and their good fortune and their stellar, you know, qualities, qualifications, and they will deflect that praise to another devotee whom they consider higher. That way it goes from the Shalagram worshipping Brahmins to the South Indian king to Puri to Indra. And, you know, because the Puri king said, this is the, well, it's gorgeous worship for this world, but what Indra's doing, you know, it's out of this world or beyond the Bhur Loka. And then Indra, with his kingly, heavenly opulence, is able to worship with such grandeur and being praised by Narada that, you know, Vamandeva is your little brother. They're, you know, sons of Aditi. And understand, well, but Because this is karma, misra, bhakti. The beginning, but still there's gradation. And he's saying, but how about Brahma? He's Atmabhu. He's born from the Lord. The lotus, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, the lotus comes out, of, and Brahma is born in that way. So he's offering praise of Brahma. Brahma, as and the words of Guru Maharaj saying, with all this responsibility of managing the universe, I don't have time for mantra and japa, and you know, can't get my rounds done. So, he's saying, I rather appreciate the position of Mahadev. He's under a banyan tree, we're told, what is it, 100 yojanas, wide, it means 800 miles wide. It's very quiet. He's under there, only covered in ashes, completely beyond the world, right? Master of Maya. Mainam tu prakritim vidyan, mainam tu maheshwaram, mayam tu prakritim vidyan, mainam tu maheshwaram. And that Shiva, and here in this, because we have Bhog Shiv, Tyag Shiv, Bhakta Shiv, here he's showing Jnana Misra Bhakti. So from the Karma Misra, from Avendra to Brahma, then Jnana Misra to Shiva. And he is saying, actually my position is not so fortunate because I have these foolish disciples. His name is Ashutosh. He's easily pleased. They do some top for Shiva to get some boon. And then they're bringing me in collision with Krishna. So, and not only that, he's saying, I am ashamed to say, and he said, but I wanted a position greater than the Lord. Such a shameful man. And what does Sanatana Goswami explain? Narada, he's saying, actually with you, what you're saying is, you want a position greater than the Lord. What is that position? A devotee. So you're indirectly just praising the devotees, but you're saying like you wanted a position greater than the Lord. Really what it means is you want to be only his servitor. You know, and Parvati, she's overhearing these discussions and she gets involved. And anyway, Shiva says, I rather appreciate the position of Prahlad. And that's where Shuddha Bhakti begins. Seventh canto, Srimad Bhagavatam. Nasabritya Sabai Banik. Prahlad, when Srinadeva is offering him boons and benedictions for his fidelity, Prahlad's feelings are hurt. And he's saying, I didn't worship you to get something from you. I'm not a Banik businessman. That I did this and then I get that, you give me this. No, not like that. So it's the beginning of Shuddha Bhakti. Right? Prahlad's a Shuddha Bhakta, pure. He's saying, but, and we're told when Narada enters, he's singing the praise of Prahlad Maharaj. And Prahlad Maharaj is going, Gurudev, stop, please, this is not good. The guru will give so much praise to the disciple, it's not good for the disciple to hear those things. He said, I'm one of your insignificant aspiring servitors and you're giving so much, please stop. And Prahlad saying, by your grace, Gurudev, to Narada, by your grace, I could remember him under all these circumstances. It's not that I have some special ability, but by your grace, I was able to remember my Lord under all these trying circumstances. But I don't have any active service like Hanuman. Think of Hanuman. So we see each devotee is lost in remembrance and praise of other devotees. That's a devotee. So someone who's allegedly a devotee and has no praise for the devotees, then we understand their position is not substantial. What Grover calls fictitious devotion. So at best, it can only, if there's no intimate servitor involved, then it means you have a very distant conception of Krishna, not near, as they say, up close and personal. These are the secrets, the open secrets of devotion. So always appreciating devotees. That's the sign of near matsarja, of not being envious, that we can offer them praise. And we're told this is the secret of Krishna conception, not to just make all these fantastical statements about Krishna. Guru Maharaj's sloka, yadamiya mahima sri bhagavatam katayam pratipatam anubhutam apya labdhavideya tadakila rasa murti shamalila avalambam madura rasadi sri radha padapadmam prapadye. So the book, so we're told it's the Krishna book, it's the book of Krishna, Krishna conception. The Bhagavatam is considered the body of Krishna. But Guru Maharaj is saying here, although her name is not mentioned ostensibly, actually, at every step of the way, every sloka, every passage is meant to take us in the direction of the service of her holy lotus feet, Radha Dasyam. Because we'll say, no, it says every Bhagavatam is a book about bhakti, about devotion. Yes, and devotion will always take place under the guidance of the superior servitor. No superior servitor, then it's suspect. Raghunath Das Goswami is the Prayojan Tattva Acharya. Right? He indicates what is our ultimate necessity, and that as being Radha Dasyam. What is his sloka? Dasyam, Sakaya, Mama Namostu Namostu Nityam, Dasyayate, Mama Rasastu Rasastu Satyam. He's saying, I'm focused on Dasyam, servitorship. The least aspect. Sakya, in this sense, intimate, really, that's not my concern. And if there's no superior servitor, why would I want to be there? This is the method of the devotees, their approach. Always, ashraya, loya bhaje tari krishna nahi tyaje arsav. Hari Akarane Mari, what is that? They don't try for Krishna directly, but take shelter of the devotee of Krishna. And Krishna's saying, those who say, you know, making a big loud pronouncement, they're my devotees, they're not my real devotees. Who are my real devotees? Who are devoted to my devotees. Bhagavatam, Achyuta Priya, means Radharani. Who is most dear to Achyuta, to Krishna? She is. So then, another way of saying this is then, so then the real devotees are those who are devoted to Radharani and her servitors, the Brajagopis. That's how you find out who the real devotees are. So, it is true, to go back to the original question, that this envy of now, that we're spelling out, of Radharani and her servitors, that will prevent one. Aparadha can also mean that. Aparadha. What is against her position and her suggestion. So then we understand, yes, you cannot enter that plane. But for those who are in that plane, then it's a given that not only are they non-envious of Radharani and the Braja Gopis and Krishna, but they're mad in their praise. So, and what do we hear from after Prahlad sends to Hanuman, Narada coming, taking Ram Nam, praising Hanuman, they're lost and Ram Nam, Kirtan. And then Hanuman lamenting, saying, oh, well, my Lord Ram was here so long ago, I wonder, does he remember me? Well, he has his deities and singing, those were the days. He said, but I heard recently that my Lord Ram has appeared. And Mathura Vrindavan, then he's now as a king in Dwaraka. My Lord Ram, as Krishna, he's come as Krishna. And Narada saying, then let us go and see him. And Hanuman saying, oh, a monkey in Dwaraka, that doesn't seem compatible. But there, he said, how friendly are his pastimes with the Pandavas. He's praising Yudhisthira, Arjuna, etc. Then Narada comes, praising Yudhisthira Maharaj and his brothers. And Yudhisthira Maharaj is lamenting, saying that actually what disturbs me is that when people see the kind of pastimes that we have, they'll be discouraged from pursuing a life of devotion. They'll think, well, to be a devotee of Krishna, the life of trouble. Look at the Pandavas, look what happened to them. Like I was saying, there are some people in India, they won't keep a Mahabharata in their house because they think the family will, there'll be quarrel, you know, family quarrel. And in a strange way, that shows you how deep the DNA of the Indian people, that they believe all these things. So he's thinking like that. Then when they see our path, no one will go, oh, I don't know if I want to be a devotee of Krishna. And Narada say, no, when they see your pastimes, what it's telling them is when you're a devotee of Krishna and you're going against the current of the world or you're in some very emergency-like situations, under great adversity, that Krishna will come and rescue the devotees. That's what we learn from your pastimes. You're just, well, different ways of looking. But he's with the Yadavas now in the Sudharma Assembly House in Dwaraka. So Narada goes there and then find what the situation. They all wait every day and there's a door that Krishna enters through. So you can imagine the sort of intensity. You know, I like to remind our like yoga friends who are meditating, because they're like, well, you meditate, you know, you think about different things. And this is a type of meditation. You're staring at a doorway in anticipation that Krishna is going to walk through that door. What kind of meditation is that? And it happened like yesterday, so it's going to happen again today at a specific time. That door is going to open and Krishna will walk through. So they have a tendency to stay, like we see in this world, when they're waiting for some important person or a movie star or whoever, you know, everyone's watching, and then someone comes out before them, like the entourage, and then there's some indication, and, you know, they all, and then when they come in, then everybody screams. Like, the first time I saw Srila Prabhupada, I mean, you know, visually, was at the San Francisco airport, and he was coming on a flight from LA, like with one other devotee. And devotees had come from all over the country, America, to most had never seen him. He'd been gone for a year, and the movement grew a lot in that 1 year. And so there's like a few hundred devotees who had assembled for, this is 1971, for Rath Yatra. And so we all went out to the airport to greet Prabhupada. And weren't sure how to do this. So they're like looking through the books and seeing like Krishna enter Dwarka, what do you do? Like throw rose petals, you know, sandalwood, water. But then they'd read things like yogurt and, you know, all kinds of other things. So we're there at the airport, and we're staring at this gate where, you know, and Prabhupada's going to come through there. And then we realize now the plane's arrived and some people start to get on. It's getting more and more intense and we're all, and there's this huge kirtan going on. And remember, and around, I'd say 90% of the group had never seen him before. It's going to be their first view of Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada, he comes to the door, and the devotee, they start screaming. And not like, I mean, some people are saying Hari Bol or Hare Krishna, and other people, they're just screaming. They're going, ah! They're screaming and dropping to their knees and crying. And then they're throwing flowers, but there's someone walking with a big bowl of yogurt. And they're like throwing yogurt everywhere. And then what happened, then other devotees, now it's like pandemonium has broken out. And there are devotees who run, and then they dive into the pools of yogurt, the puddles of yogurt. So they're sliding on the floor. And remember, there's people watching this too. And then those devotees who are on, now, they're on their knees and they're eating the yogurt. They're going, like, and they're all like, you know, and screaming. And there are all these other people going, wow. Welcome to the Hare Krishna movement. So we have our experience. We can get some idea. And they're looking at that door. Krishna comes through that door. And but on this day he's not. So there's rumors, like Krishna couldn't get out of bed. Something's up, right? And what we hear is that he feels separation from Vrindavan when he's in Dwaraka regularly. Because the queens start having discussions. Some say, you know, I've noticed in his sleep, sometimes he's calling out the names of cows, but also then like gopis. And one queen shares that. Another queen saying, in his sleep, in the daytime, he's daydreaming, looking out and thinking of his beloved girlfriends and Vrindavan. He's lost in remembrance of Vrindavan. But we're told also, once a year, Krishna's overwhelmed by separation from Vrindavan. Puri represents Dwaraka, Jagannath represents Dwaraka Krishna. And the Rath Yatra is that one time, that year where he's so overwhelmed. Dwarka Krishna needs to find an excuse to go to Vrindavan. And his cover is that he's going with Balaram and Balabhadra and Subhadra, with brother and sister, so no one should think any wrong about that. This Lakshmi side. That he's visiting his hometown with brother and sister. But we're told on this day, Krishna, he cannot, he's feeling so overwhelmed, he can't get out of bed. And what do we hear? Those queens having discussion with Rohini, Balaram's mother, because she has a position in Vrindavan and Dwaraka. And they like to ask her about that. She knows things, so they like to hear from her. And Krishna overhearing that, it's put him in this ecstatic separation, transformation, so that it's so intense that, and the Guru said like this, when you see a vehicle is moving at a particular speed, going very fast in a particular direction, then if you put on the brakes, what is that force called? Anyway, you understand what I'm saying, right? So it pulls in the other direction. So sometimes we will see when they would try to have men go on very fast machines that don't leave the ground, usually on a sled or something, because so it wouldn't take flight. When they would show, and the same thing, G-force, you see the faces start to transform because of it's pulling in another direction. So Guru Maharaj said, in this way, Krishna, we can say, is moving at what? The speed of infinite and Dwaraka Leela. And then the pull, the separation feeling from Vrindavan, that's pulling in another direction and producing this ecstatic transformation. His eyes become very big. His arms are entering his body. His legs are entering his body. And he takes the form of Jagannath. So Jagannath, that form, which we say there can be an infinite variety of perspectives how he achieves that position. But this one is favored by Guru Maharaj. Jagannath is Dwaraka Krishna overwhelmed and feeling separation from Vrindavan, and that's why he's transformed like that. And therefore, they put him on the chariot to take him to Vrindavan. He's mad to go there. And we can think how grateful he will be if in his stunned condition, they have to take him out, put him on the chariot. And if you are pulling him to Vrindavan, he's being pulled by the ropes of love and affection, how merciful Jagannath will be toward that person. But anyway, then we know they make they're thinking one way to relieve Krishna, they make a new Vrindavan, Nava Vrindavan, in Dwaraka, a little replica. And in the madness of his separation, it works up to a point. They have statues of Nanda, Yashoda, and Krishna. And at one point, Krishna said, oh, I had this crazy dream that I left Vrindavan and became a king. He's thinking Dwaraka Leela was a dream. They've induced this in him through the Nava Vrindavan replica. But then gradually he comes out of it and realizes, oh, I am a king in Dwaraka. But at that point, those Yadavas, they're telling, Narada's praising them, every day the Lord comes and sits with you like his bosom friends, and you decide, how to make the city more wonderful and all the beautiful activities here are joint planning with you and Krishna. And they're saying, yeah, but he's not here with us. He's in there. Who's on the other side? Is Uddhava. He's in that room. So in this way, it's taking us to Uddhava to underscore the position of Uddhava. As Guru Maharaj said, he met a Shrutadhar who knew the entire Bhagavatam. like the 18,000 slokas, we say 16,000 extant. You know, there, he knows all of them. And he and Guru Maharaj meet, and Guru Maharaj said, so since you know all the slokas of the Bhagavad Gita, who in your estimation are the greatest devotees? And he says, the four Kumaras, Chatushan, sons of Brahma. Yeah. And what say you, Sridhar Maharaj? And Guru Maharaj said, they're in the lowest position. And then with two slokas of the 18,000, Guru Maharaj gives this shastric support, beginning with, na tata priyatama atma yonir na shankara na cha sankarshana na sri naivatma cha yata bhavan. This is from the mouth of Krishna. So Krishna, he should be an authority on this subject. Right? He can weigh in with his opinion. And he's saying, no one is speaking to Uddhava. Sanatana Goswami Prabhu points out, really, it's a sloka extolling the glories of the position of the devotee. But Uddhava's in front of him, so he's getting the maximum credit and emphasis here, because he is that. But he's saying, no one is as dear to me as you, Uddhava. Not Atmabhu, we just mentioned, Brahma. Not Shankar, Shiva. Not Sankarshan. Right? Not Sri, means Lakshmi. And then he goes and he says, Naivatma Chayatabhavan. I, my own self, is not as dear to me as you are to me. So in one verse, to the holy lotus feet of Uddhava, what say you, Uddhava? And that Uddhava, as he's approached by Narada, and we can see Brihad Bhagavatamritam concludes this way twice, with Uddhava saying, with the emphasis on this sloka that comes from the mouth of Uddhava, where what does he say? Asamaho charanarenu jusham ahangsham brindavane kimapi gumalatosa dinam yaddushtajam svajanam arjapatam chahitva bejur mukunda parivim shrutibir vimrigyam. Saying what the Vedas are pointing in a particular, they give indications, go in this direction. He's saying they're indicating a particular direction. He's saying the gopi girls of Vrindavan, they've got that. And not only have they got it, they own it. They own, you know, the copyright and trademark to Krishna. He's theirs to distribute or not, according to their will. He's saying they are, and how did he learn this? That when Krishna is in Mathura, and the gopis are feeling such separation from Krishna. I just thought he didn't ask to become a blade of grass in Vaikuntha, just as a sidebar. But so Krishna writes the message and gives it to Uddhava, right? Uddhava Sunday, you deliver this. So that one thing is to give them a message. Right? Here's a message from Udhoksaja. And when Krishna's telling the Braja Gopis, like, you should learn meditation. God is everywhere. You should learn how, you know, God's everywhere and everything. And if you learn, like, yoga and really get good at it, you know, you can look and see the Lord's presence, and the gopis are like, it's making them angry to actually hear this. Krishna telling, we should take up yoga or become gyanis, or like, what are you saying? This is insane. It's an insult, you know. But he took the message, but then Uddhava seeing this reaction among them. And what does he see? That's the Braja Gopis. But Radharani is in complete, the highest level, the deepest level of divine madness. that is exhibited in the passage known as the Bhramar Gita, the song of the bumblebee. While Uddhava is delivering the message to the Gopi, Radharani is on the side, and there's this big Bhramar bumblebee, who, remember, is yellow and black. And he's floating there, and Radharani is chastising the bee, because it's insane. It's there, and acharyas are split and saying, did Krishna take the form of this bee to see her? That's possible. Or he's her messenger, and like, she's chastising the bee severely. It looks like the bee is going for her feet and shooing him away. Don't dare touch my feet. And she sees the pollen on the mustache of the bee, saying that, which to her looks like kumkum, and there are many things that she's... Then she... Anyway, we can't discuss that, but that's Rupa Goswami does, the acharya, they give some analysis. But one verse we can say, he says, Yadanucharita lila karna piyusha biprut sakrida dana viduta danda dharma vinashta sapadigriha kutumbam dinam utrida bahava vihanga bhikkhu charjam charanti. She's saying, if a drop of hearing about Krishna should touch your heart, your life is ruined. That's what she says. You'll never be the same again. You won't be able to take the world seriously and all the people in it. That's the effect of a drop of that divine substance. Yad anucharita lila karna piyush. Piyush means nectar. That enters through hearing, touches your heart, then your life is ruined. But it's another way of saying you become liberated from material existence. That's what you're saying. That's all ruined. You mean the hell that we signed up for, the rain in hell program, that's finished. Right? Then you'll be like, what? These birds, you know, they come, they fly in, they eat a little something, they go. When, you know, they don't generally stalk the birds. They take a little something. They don't, you know, like, well, let me put, you know, like monkeys. You see, they're like stuffing their cheeks full of stuff, and then later, like, oh, you know. Right? I mean, they do that. The birds don't do that. But, so she's saying, then you'll be like homeless, like these birds, and just barely get, you know. But then we say, but what are those birds? You're trying to say, it's a particular kind of bird you become. A hungsa, like paramahungsa. So she's saying, the end result of, another way of reading it, after you're touched by a drop of the nectar of Krishna has touched your heart and you've lost all affinity in the material world, the end result is you become a paramahungsa. So, but that Uddhava, so when he sees the reaction of the Braja Gopis and of Radharani, her divine madness, which we are told, this is the last 12 years of the life of Mahaprabhu behind closed doors. This is not a peripheral pastime. There are two zenith points that we can observe in Mahaprabhu's pastimes in terms of separation zenith points. One, the Rath Yatra we just mentioned, right? Where after all this long separation, Braja Gopis get to meet with Krishna again and Kurukshetra on the plea of engaging in auspicious activities during the solar eclipse. And that's what's celebrated in the Rath Yatra by Mahaprabhu and his devotees. But the other one, we're told, that's publicly. Although what he's expressing, not everyone can understand. Rupa Goswami can, Sripadamadar, are a select few. But not to diminish that in any way. That's his primary pastime of Mahaprabhu and his devotees. But still, it's executed from one point of view publicly, right? Before Jagannath. And as we say, many things are mysterious and confidential, but still in a public setting. Behind closed doors, with Ramananda and Srip Damodar the last 12 years incessantly. And what it, we're told, you know, like the Urava Darshan, that's an indirect way of saying Brahmar Gita. These are the subject matters. The divine madness of Radharani, Mahaprabhu is plunging the depths of her divine madness that's expressed there. Right. So Uddhava, having seen this, and he's familiar, intimately familiar with all the queens of Dwaraka, the devotion of Rukmini, the devotion of Satyabhama and Lakshmana and the others. Right. He's saying, these gopis, and remember, Krishna is on the plate, you deliver this letter to them. Yes, that's the pastime. They have infinite depths and multidimensional. He wants him to see firsthand the devotion of the highest devotees. So that Uddhava is saying, Asam aho chunarenu jushama. My aspiration, I want to get some of the dust from their holy lotus feet. Notice he doesn't say, I rather fancy myself as being one of them, or an assistant. This is Uddhava. He knows what it means. Right? But here, in this world, those newly recruited to Krishna consciousness, they voyeuristically envision themselves as super servitors. But who is a super servitor? Namely Uddhava, who Krishna certified as being more dear to him than his own self. What does he say? Oh, if, you know, Braja Lata, if I could be a creeper, Vasamaho Charanarenu Jushama Hungsham, Brindavane Kimap Api Guma Lata Osha, like a creeper, a blade of grass. He's saying, if I could have an atomic presence in that plane, then when they're moving, right? Radha, Padman, Kitadam, Vrindavan, Jaranam, that world that's embellished with the lotus footprints of Srimati Radharani, if I could have an atomic presence in the soil, some of the dust from her holy lotus feet would come on my head, thereby consecrating my existence, that would be my good fortune. That's what he says. That's the culmination of the Brihad Bhagavatamritam twice. At the end of the first seven chapters, this verse appears from the mountain. At the end of the set, on the Goloka Mahatmya, it appears again. To underscore, this is it. It means Radha Dasyam. we should never think, those who are in that plane, any untoward thoughts in that direction. And as Guru Maharaj said, we want their grace. So don't be careful. We want the grace of such personalities. Brahma's prayer is similar. This Tadburi Bhagyam Iha Janma Kimapyatavyam Yad Gop Kulepi Katamangri Rajobhishekam. But Brahma, he realized after what the Brahma Vimohan Leela, he's like made it more general, his aspiration. Uddhava's more specific. Seeing Radharani and the Vrajagopis. So there's no question of there being envy as it's conventionally conceived in that plane. And if we say, well, what about the opposition group? That is an arrangement of yoga maya to create emotional intensity, Chandravali's group and everything. And we know in her case too, I mean, the Guru Maharaj went once, that Sagar Rupa Goswami, Achchinnam Nayanam Bubandushu Kritam Sakhi, Bahito, Guru Yorpita, that once Radharani, her separation could not be assuaged, and it looks like she's going to leave the world. And she's crying incessantly. And normally at some point, that'll be stopping, but this time it's not stopping, and they're becoming very worried about her, that she might leave. And we hear, suddenly though, her tears are transferred to her friends and assistants. She stops crying, and they all start crying. So there's some sort of a transfer. But at the thought that Radharani may leave, you know, Chandravali came and fell at her feet and said, "I admit it. You're the best." You know? They say it comes down to you and me. I admit you're the best. Tvayor upya upyubayor madhye radhikasar. You're the best. And she's saying, "Please don't do this. Because without you, I know, and we all know, Krishna will never come back. You're our only hope for his return. Without you, no such hope. So I'm begging you, and I'm pleading with you." So she also understands the supremacy. But out of necessity of Leela and Yogamaya, these opposition is there to enhance the love and affection. So that world, it's so beautiful. Like Guru Maharaj said, there's, you know, biting, but it's nectar biting. Like everything, he said, sometimes we see something that's made out of sugar. You know, like they make a house. It looks like a house, but it's all, you know, ice, it's sugar or some other thing. It's made out of, so he's saying, it's like that, the whole place. But the sugar, the sweetness, it's made as madura, rasa. That's the plane. And everything else is assisting that and enhancing that. Client rasas and satellite rasas. So, but to go from this position of, again, I say innate, but I still can't find that word. Like nebulous envy stage to proper appreciation, we will have to gain appreciation for the devotees. So we see in Mahaprabhu's pastime how much he's emphasizing Nityananda Prabhu. And on the Krishna Leela side, Radharani, Lalita, Bishaka, Rupa, you know, their group. Hare Krishna.